Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the trial of the man accused of killing Bonkrana woman Danielle McLaughlin in Goa, India has been postponed for a fifth time. A letter issued to the residents of Argrania Court in Stranorla and their families has sparked outrage. A Donegal deputy has pleaded with a taoiseach to listen to what the people are saying. A new museum could be on the way for Derry, and funding has been confirmed for much sought-after roadworks in Letterkenny. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin about a quarter past five. First news this evening. The trial of the man accused of killing Bonkrana woman Danielle McLaughlin in Goa, India has been postponed for a fifth time. Monday's hearing did not go ahead as the accused Vagat Bhagat was not produced to court due to a reported shortage of escort staff. This comes following a recent meeting between Irish and British diplomats and an Indian minister, which called for a quick conclusion to the trial. Danielle's mother, Andrea Branigan, says a new date has been set, but she's not confident that it will go ahead.
It's been hard because one of the times that he wasn't produced was because they couldn't find him in the jail. Like, they have given 2 weeks notice of every time he's going to appear in court. So they should have somebody on standby. They should have this all prepared before the trial. They did have a meeting, and I was hopeful of it meeting. So they're agreeing to stuff, and then when it comes to them, the jailers don't seem to be corresponding, so they're just not taking him to court. They've reset a date now for the 28th of April, so next Friday. But sure, I'm not hopeful that even he's going to be produced again.
A letter issued to the residents of Ardgrania Court in Stranorla and their families has sparked outrage. A new plan, Time to Move On, has been issued by the HSE this week. Families of residents of the centre were informed at a meeting last week that it would be decongregated over the next 3 years. INTO representative Mary T. Sweeney told today's 9 till noon show that the news came as a huge shock to those concerned.
Greg, it's actually devoid of emotion, this letter. How harrowing for the families, not even a name of a person on the bottom foot that you could know or ring or get any security or confidence from. This is harrowing. The language in this letter is absolutely, I think it's apparently was devastating. Many of the parents and families of these residents, many parents may be even dead, it could be siblings, but imagine that you had the confidence and security. Ardgrania had issues that have been well investigated. And the families assure me that they have ultimate confidence in the staff and the care.
A Donegal deputy has pleaded with the taoiseach to listen to what the people are saying. Deputy Pearce Doherty says the housing crisis has worsened as rents have exploded and homelessness has reached an all-time high. In response, Micheál Martin accused Deputy Doherty of raising issues for political point scoring.
Taoiseach, open your eyes. Listen to what is happening out there. Listen to your own constituents. Listen to what people are saying right across society. The housing crisis wasn't just a national scandal in 2017 when you called it out. It is a national scandal now. Things have gotten worse. House prices have risen beyond all reach of people. Rents have exploded. And homelessness is at all-time high. And in the middle of that, the wisdom of you and your party and your government is to end the eviction ban. And the consequences of that, whether you want to ignore them or not, are people in your constituency, my constituency, and every single constituency across the state, people stressed out, not knowing where they are going. And what's your new harebrained idea? It's to do what you've done in the past. It's to do what you did when you wrecked the economy the last time you were in government. Give multi-million euro subsidies to developers instead of actually building the social, affordable and cost rental houses that are needed, installing the eviction ban.
Deputy, you wanted to lift the eviction ban on Christmas week. That was your proposal. It's all empty sloganeering and soundbites designed to win votes. That's all you're interested in. You are not interested in solutions. You've described the crisis there. How in the name of God can your party object to 11,000 houses? How can you do that?
We didn't.
How can you do it with a straight face?
We've been fact-checked so many times in this here.
And the reason you object on a serial basis, up and down the length and breadth of the country, is because you want to win votes at local level.
Mothers and children without anywhere to go.
Whatever moves, wherever there's a group in support of something, you're there.
Money will be set aside from bumper corporation tax receipts so austerity measures can be avoided in the future. The Taoiseach has also said there will be income tax cuts in the budget and cost of living measures. He made the comments at the Bloomberg Gateway event in Wicklow. Leo Varadkar says it's important to pay down the government's debt.
Yes, we will reduce income taxes. Yes, there will be a welfare package in the budget to help people with the cost of living, particularly pensioners and people on social welfare. And yes, we will be able to invest more in capital and infrastructure, and so we should. But it's also important that we set aside some of that windfall gain and that we pay down the debt.
The number of judges in Ireland is set to increase. A bill has come before the Dáil this week outlining the government's intention to lift caps on the number of judges in Ireland and to appoint 24 more. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle, however, believes the judicial membership needs to be expanded and more inclusive.
Our judges should reflect our society, and so I feel that this legislation is a missed opportunity to address issues of underrepresentation of women and minority groups. And I hope that the Minister will consider addressing issues of underrepresentation in upcoming legislation. We need to ensure sufficiently diversity of judges to help counteract unconscious bias from developing and to promote inclusion within Irish courts.
The Justice Minister says the government plans to hit organised crime gangs in the pocket. Simon Harris was speaking as the Dáil has been hearing statements on organised crime in Ireland. The Justice Minister says the government is targeting the pockets of such gangs.
We're going to hit these organised crime gangs in the only place that seems to matter to them, their pockets. Since its inception, the Criminal Assets Bureau has been a world leader in seizing the ill-gotten gains of criminals. It was a major decision that has been so successful to establish the CAB. It has been the forefront of fighting organised crime in this country and of disrupting the activities of criminal gangs by depriving them of their ill-gotten gains.
A new museum for Derry could be on the way. Almost £3 million in funding has been confirmed for a new peace process museum in the city. The project will see an extension to the Gashyard Centre, which will chronicle the evolution of the conflict in the north from August 1972 and the key role played by key figures such as Martin McGuinness, John Hume and Mitchell McLaughlin, as well as local residents' testimony detailing their memories of the conflict. In welcoming the announcement, the Martin McGuinness Peace Foundation believes the museum will be an important addition to Derry, providing a space for education, reflection and engagement with the history of the conflict and the ongoing peace process. Meanwhile, the curator of the Donegal County Museum hopes people will learn to understand how important solar panels are in tackling climate change. It's after a number of solar panels were damaged at the building on the High Road in Letterkenny. It's believed those responsible gained access via an adjacent famine memorial garden and threw stones at them. Judith McCarthy says she doesn't understand why someone would cause such destruction.
The solar panels were actually installed at the rear of the museum, so we were up at the site on Friday afternoon and noticed that there had been some damage done, as if someone had been throwing stones at them. And then went up again on Monday and there had been more damage done. So what's happening is someone is throwing stones over the wall from, you know, the small garden next to us, which is a kind of famine memorial garden. So it would appear that someone is throwing stones over the wall to break our solar panels. I just don't understand. What people see is they just see something that will break. Yeah. They may not fully understand that these are solar panels. What they're doing, as I said, is trying to improve our energy efficiency, reduce our carbon footprint, good for the environment, which is of benefit to everybody.
More than 70% of early childcare educators say they will leave the sector in the next year if the conditions of their job stay the same. A new survey by SIP2 finds 7 in 10 respondents with plans of leaving are looking for better pay, while poor benefits and burnout were also contributing factors. Last year, the government invested €173 million into this sector, which saw the introduction of a fee freeze for parents and a pay increase for most workers. But Head of Strategic Organising and Campaigns with SIP2, Dara O'Connor, says further investment is needed.
This all happened when there was a cost of living crisis. A lot of the gains that were made were eaten up by inflation. So a lot of the educators and managers deliver a vital public service. They're nowhere near the level of pay that they should be at. So they're looking at jobs like special needs assistants or primary school teachers. People are making that jump because they can't afford to stay.
A Letterkenny councillor is welcoming funding of almost €193,000 for resurfacing works on the Glencar Road. The funding has been allocated under the 2023 Restoration Improvement Programme, with works due to commence in the second quarter of this year. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh says he's pleased the works are going ahead, but hopes they won't exacerbate ongoing traffic issues in the town.
The funding is part of the restoration programme that has been agreed. I've had a lot of contact from people recently about the state of Glencairn Road, particularly from Chestnut Grove up to the pub. I just got confirmation at the April meeting that there is an allocation of just under $193,000 for the Glencairn Road and the restoration programme, and that work will be commencing shortly in the second quarter.
Do you think that having another set of roadworks in Letterkenny will add to the constant congestion that is happening on the roads in the town?
Well, you know, there's no really easy way to do it. The road has got so bad that it needs done, and it's certainly welcome that it has been done. Hopefully that at least some of this work in the schools and that are maybe closed, so that might help the situation. But there's no easy way to do it. The road needs done, and people are calling out for it to be done. So we welcome the fact that it has actually been done.
The president of the Union of Students in Ireland says she's incredibly worried about the cost and availability of accommodation for next September. Beth O'Reilly says it's the one issue the government has continued to keep its head in the sand on. It follows a report published by the HEA today, which found almost a third of students are experiencing serious financial problems, with rent the single largest cost. Beth says once-off measures are not working.
While accommodation is absolutely the biggest problem facing students, it is also the problem that the government has their head in the sand the most about. You know, the government will announce once-off measures for the cost of fees, they'll announce once-off SUSI payments for students, but there is nothing being done about the accommodation crisis. And as we face into the next academic year, I'm incredibly worried.
Gear your club up for the season with a great range of footballs and training equipment from names like O'Neill's, Murphy's, Precision and Mitre at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of sport on Highland Radio. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Derry City have confirmed that Paddy McLaughlin has rejoined the club as assistant manager to Rory Higgins. In a statement released today, the City boss made it clear that he would take time to get the right man in, and there's no doubting that they see this as a fantastic opportunity and he's the proper man for the club. Paddy's four-year spell at Cliftonville brought about a change to the North Belfast club's recent fortunes, and he's clearly a man held in high regard. The 43-year-old enjoyed 8 seasons at the Brandywell as a player between 1997 and 2005, making 214 appearances. Speaking this morning, he said the opportunity returned to the Brandywell was just something he didn't want to miss. So Paddy McLaughlin back at Derry City FC as assistant manager. Elsewhere, Marcus Rashford's fitness will be assessed ahead of Manchester United's Europa League quarter-final second leg with Sevilla this evening. The England international's been out with a groin injury. Erik ten Hag's side need to win in Spain after the first leg ended 2-2 last week. And West Ham and Ghent, they're locked at one apiece heading into this evening's Conference League last eight clash. David Moyes is hoping to guide the Londoners to a second consecutive European semi-final. Now back to some League of Ireland news, and Shamrock Rovers, they'll be without Rory Gaffney for tomorrow night's Dublin derby with St Pat's. The striker has a hamstring injury, but wing-back Trevor Clark is available again to the Hoops boss Stephen Bradley. In rugby, the Irish team to play England in the Women's Six Nations shows three changes from the team defeated by Italy a week ago. Vicky Irwin replaces Anna McGann at inside centre, while Molly Sophie McCabe is in for Alicia Hughes at scrum half. The only alternation to the pack sees Brittany Hogan replace Dorothy Wall at blindside flanker. In other news, Rob Balacone and Rob Herring have been recalled to the Ulster starting 15 for tomorrow night's final regular URC fixture with Edinburgh. They're among seven changes to the team that beat the Dragons last week. And Wayne Barnes will referee Leinster's Heineken Champions Cup semi-final with Toulouse at the Aviva next week, while South African official Jacko Piper will make his debut in the competition in the other semi-final, which pits La Rochelle against Exeter. In golf, a triple bogey at the fourth leaves Stephanie Meadow on 3 over par, 7 holes, into her opening round at the Chevron Major Championship. Leona Maguire doesn't tee off until after 7 o'clock Irish time. Marina Alex is the early leader in Houston on 4 under par. And Gary Hurley is four off the lead on three under par following the opening round of the ISPS Handa Championship in Japan. Tom McKibben's one over, while Brendan Lawler is 11 over. Andy Sullivan and Kae Young Kim lead on seven under par. In the PGA Tour this week, the Zurich Classic of New Orleans takes place. It's a doubles event this. Matthew Lesmith and Taylor Moore, Doc Redman and Sam Ryder, they're both teams are tied on 7 under par through 13 holes. In snooker, four-time champion Mark Selby's been made to work for his last 16 place at the World Championship. He leads Matthew Selt by 9 frames to 6. The winner of that will play Robert Mulkins in round 2 after he came from 7-2 down to defeat Joe Perry 10-9. Mark Williams entered his first session of the second round match level at 4 frames apiece with Luca Brazil. While this evening, Mark Allen begins his second round tie with 2015 champion Stuart Bingham. In tennis, Rafa Nadal's been forced to pull out of another tennis tournament due to ongoing hip injury. The 22-time major Grand Slam champion will miss next week's Madrid Open. He's been absent from recent events in Barcelona, Monte Carlo, Indian Wells and Miami. Nadal says he hopes to play in the French Open next month. And in boxing, the UK anti-doping agency has formally charged Conor Benn over his failed drugs test and has confirmed his worldwide suspension from boxing under its rules. He's repeatedly said he's innocent of intentionally doping. Finally, for this evening on the score this week, this weekend on Sunday, Coghill Celtic are looking to make history. An Intermediate Cup manager Gavin Cullen joins Oisin Kelly to preview the FAI Intermediate Cup decider against Rockmount, while the former Finn Harps captain also looks ahead to the League of Ireland games on Friday for Finn Harps and Derry City. There's also Donegal senior and minor Gaelic games action this weekend, with our big game analyst Brendan Kilcoyne will be looking ahead to Donegal taking on Down at both levels on Sunday in a championship doubleheader at Park Isler. That's part of the score this evening on Highland Radio here after 7 o'clock news. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. For weather now, dry and bright this evening with a moderate to fresh easterly breeze. Dry and clear tonight with lowest temperatures of between 1 and 4 degrees. The closing headlines this evening, the trial of the man accused of killing Bunkrana woman Danielle McLaughlin in Goa, India, has been postponed for a fifth time. Monday's hearing did not go ahead as the accused Vagat Bhagat was not produced to court due to a reported shortage of escort staff. A letter issued to the residents of Argrenia Court, Stranorlar, and their families has sparked outrage. Families of the residents at the centre were informed at a meeting last week that it would be decongregated over the next 3 years in line with a new time to move on plan. A Donegal deputy has pleaded with the Taoiseach to listen to what the people are saying. Deputy Pearce Doherty says the housing crisis has worsened as rents have exploded and homelessness has reached an all-time high. And the number of judges in Ireland is set to increase. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle, however, believes the judicial membership needs to be expanded and more inclusive. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast for main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Good evening.
Good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear from Glen Swilly farmer Phelan Molloy, the Vice President of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, about the new Wool Council. Interestingly, aside from being used in clothing and carpets, one of the main uses for wool in the future will be in insulation. And another is as pellets for use as a natural fertiliser. But first, Donegal farmers are being reminded that the IFA, in collaboration with Bord Gáis Energy, will hold its second online information meeting for those who are considering investing in solar panels to reduce their costs on farms. The online meeting will be next Tuesday, the 25th of April, from 8 to 9 p.m. Topics covered on the night will include an outlook for the energy market, what farmers should consider before investing in solar, information on TAMS 3 in relation to solar, and an overview of the IFA and Bord Gáis Energy's newly launched solar solution. The meeting is open to all farmers, but you must register at ifa.ie/solar. The Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association has welcomed the establishment of the Wool Council following a meeting of various stakeholders which was held earlier this month. Well, one person very much involved in this is the INHFA Vice President Phelan Molloy, who has certainly made this one of his big issues since becoming Vice President. Delighted to say I spoke to him earlier on today. Phelan, for a long time, the wool sector has been languishing. You really would have struggled to give the product away. But now, after a very difficult period, it looks as if there could be better times on the horizon. So what exactly is the Wool Council going to do?
Yeah, well, the establishment of the Wool Council was actually one of the issues that was recommended from the feasibility, the study and the wool that was carried out earlier on last year. Actually, the Wool Council as an all-island wool council was as beneficial. But from the point of view of developing products based on wool, the Wool Council will have a major role in that, and get different organisations involved and research into products and then the development of those products, because there's a huge range of products that can actually be developed from wool, and we have just highlighted some of those. Besides the traditional uses of, say, bed clothing and carpets, there's also a huge opening there, and from the point of view of insulation. Now, wool is deemed to be one of the safest materials for insulation because it's very safe from a fire point of view. Wool won't ignite until it reaches something in the region of about 600 degrees C, and then it doesn't give off any toxic fumes or it doesn't stick to skin. So from the point of view of safety and buildings, that definitely wool has a major role to play. There was an initial meeting held in Athlone, and the Wool Council was established at that meeting. There's 21 representatives on that group at the moment, and they'd be representatives from the farming organisation, wool merchants, processors, education establishment, those sort of people that would have been involved with the wool down through the years.
And I see also that another potential use is using wool as a natural fertilizer.
Yeah, because of the chemical composition of wool, wool actually comprises of two main components, keratin and suent. Now, keratin actually makes up 35% of the wool weight, and the composition of keratin is carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, and sulfur. 25% of the keratin would actually be nitrogen, 50% oxygen. So it's, it has those chemicals as part of its composition. So they can be actually utilized in many different ways. One of the ways actually we were looking at them was, say, for composting or for pelleting. Because if wool was pelleted, it could be easily used in the horticulture or in the tillage industry. So there's opportunities there. There's opportunities as well around about, the rougher types of wool for composting. Because, you'll see nowadays there's a move away from peat, from compost and that. So wool will actually deliver the same qualities. It's a slow release source of nutrients, it retains moisture. So that is something that there's work currently being undertaken in that. And Wales, Aberystwyth University, are actually doing some work on it. And we have a number of groups in this country interested and becoming involved in that process as well.
And just remind our listeners,
a little bit of the background to all of this. I mean, if we go back 10, 15, 20 years ago, there was a big market for wool. Donegal sheep farmers making some money out of it, but the market effectively collapsed. What was the reasons behind that?
Well, I suppose it's the replacement of wool with synthetic fibre. In the past, you know, a lot of the wool was actually used in clothing, bed clothing, carpets and that. But with the advent of synthetic fibres, the wool actually probably would have been a bit more expensive, and there would have been a lot more availability of the synthetic fibre. There was a body in Ireland, and it was disbanded back in 1984. It was called in Coriola, the Wool Council. And since that, there's been, I suppose, a drop-off in the interest in wool. Like, traditionally, wool would have been a very, very valuable product. We've all heard of people, you know, would have saved wool for a few years, and maybe they were fit to buy a tractor or something like that. But in the last number of years, you'd be lucky to get 20 cents a kilo for the top class wool and maybe 5 cents for the rougher type. So quite clearly, you know, when something, product like that is actually on the floor, it does give an impetus to try and devise ways where there can be greater use made of the wool across a range of products. Another area we were actually looking at was the whole healthcare area, because wool is deemed to be an actual absorbent of toxins out of air and that. So again, it's an area of research that needs to be worked on, but there are opportunities there. Definitely, there was a major drop-off. But now, with emphasis on the circular and bioeconomy, it's starting to come into a bit of prominence again. So hopefully over the next few years, with the work that has been done, that wool will become a very, very valuable product. And there's no doubt that has the potential, if the proper research is carried out into its uses and then products developed on the basis of that research.
So in conclusion, Phelim, for a county like Donegal, which is such a big county for sheep, the long-term prospects here are pretty encouraging.
Yeah, well, Donegal is the highest number of breeding ewes of any county in Ireland. It's definitely something that would be of major benefit if there could be a substantial increase gained for wool and that. So that is something that the Wool Council will actually be working towards. And hopefully, you know, not in the not-too-distant future, we will see an increase in the price of wool and the demand.
And that was Phelim Molloy, Vice President of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association. In other news, a Letterkenny farmer is set to open his land to offer social farming opportunities to those in need of support to improve their health and well-being. Patrick Harley of Harley Brothers Farm is hosting an open day on his farm on Friday the 5th of May from 10:30 to 12 p.m. He's one of more than 100 farmers around the country who offer social farming experiences to people who are socially, physically, mentally or intellectually disadvantaged. And this is a chance for these people to spend time on a family farm. It's all part of an initiative under the umbrella of the Social Farming Ireland Network. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 20th of April. The death has taken place of Rosaline Clark, née Doherty, 3 Barnall Road, Kevinsfort, Sligo, reposing at her home at 3 Barnall Road tomorrow from 4 until 7 o'clock. Mass of the Resurrection will be celebrated on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Murdoch's Cathedral, Ballina, County Mayo. It can be viewed on the parish live stream. Burial afterwards in League Cemetery. Family Flowers Only, please, donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Day Centre, Ochamore, Sligo, via Feely's Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Desi Graham, 130, Lisnefin Park, Strabane, reposing at his home from 12 noon tomorrow. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 20 past 9 for Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Emer Jane Hegarty, The Swallows, Pillar Park, Buncrana. Emer's remains will repose at her late residence from 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, travelling to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Porter Funeral Directors. House private, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of William O'Neill, 17 Drummony Road, Burndennet, reposing at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Clock Corps, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to St Mary's Church, Clock Corps Restoration Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Roisin Doherty, née McElhenney, Ballylusky Road, Carndonagh. Remains reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11:45, going to Sacred Heart Church, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 12:30, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on carndonaghparish.com. And the death has taken place of Mary McGinley, Ohalati, Carrigart. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to the Church of St John the Baptist for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.